What is a covenant woman? How should a covenant woman view herself in light of the standards and ideals of the world? What should a covenant woman value the most? These are very important questions, not only to ask, but also to answer. It is important that you, as a covenant woman, condition yourself after the pattern of the teaching of the Word of God and not after the pattern of the world. And you must battle, as must we all, against the desire to have the approval of others, especially those in the world, rather than the approval of God Himself. If you truly please to seek to please Him, then as it says in Zephaniah 3:17, your heavenly Father will rejoice over you with singing. Therefore, fear the Lord, and you will be praised. Fear the Lord, and you will be praised. If your heart fears the Lord, then you will seek out the wisdom of God in His Word to know how to live a life that is well-pleasing to Him. And if you truly belong to Him and seek His counsel and guidance, then you will indeed be known as a woman of godly wisdom. Therefore, fear the Lord, and you will be praised for your wisdom. Fear the Lord, and you will be praised for your wisdom. It is fitting, don't you think, that the book of Proverbs should begin and end with essentially the same theme, the same thesis statement, if you will. Most would agree that the key verse in the book, in this book of wisdom, is Proverbs 1:7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. This verse is immediately prior to the first major section of the book, which also ends with the same verse, although worded a little differently. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is insight. This theme of the fear of the Lord being foundational to wisdom is then finally repeated at the end of the book of Proverbs, when spoken specifically in reference to the wise covenant woman. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Now, it would appear that the majority of the wise counsel in the book of Proverbs is directed toward men. For example, the word son is used 60 times, while the word daughter is only used twice. The word woman is used 24 times, while the word man is used 144 times. Now, we know that many of these proverbs addressed to men are just as often equally applicable to women. But the role of the woman in the book of Proverbs is far more significant than simply that. Depictions are given in the book of Proverbs of the kind of woman a godly man should avoid and the kind of woman a godly man should pursue. The kind of woman a godly woman should emulate and the kind of woman a godly woman should disdain. Moreover, it is not insignificant that the single most important character in the book of Proverbs is Lady Wisdom. Lady Wisdom, found in chapters 8 and 9, which is a clear description of none other than the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. Not only are all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge found in Christ, we are told by the Apostle Paul in Colossians 2:3, but Christ is also the wisdom of God. 1 Corinthians 1, verses 24 and 30. In Proverbs 8 and 9, the young covenant man is urged to find Lady Wisdom more attractive than Lady Folly. Now, the young, immature covenant man is simple, which is not good. The simple man is naive, undiscerning, and easily deceived. Therefore, he needs instruction. However, both Lady Wisdom and Lady Folly call out to the simple, to this simple young covenant man, vying for his attention. Lady Wisdom urges the young man to leave his simple ways and live, while Lady Folly, who is louder, more boisterous, and seductive, urges the man to come into her house. To him who lacks sense, she says, stolen water is sweet, and the bread eaten in secret is pleasant. But the simple man does not know that the dead are there, that her guests are in the depths of Sheol. So in the book of Proverbs, there is Lady Wisdom and there is Lady Folly. But there is one more lady as well, who I enjoy calling Lady Like. And that is because she wants to be just like Lady Wisdom. She aspires to be a lady of true wisdom. And that lady is found in Proverbs 31. We really do not know who wrote about Lady Like. We can be fairly certain that Solomon wrote the first 9 chapters of Proverbs, so he probably did write about Lady Wisdom and Lady Folly. He may also have written about Lady Like in chapter 31, but the evidence for this is not as strong. Some have thought that King Lemuel, the one who wrote the first 9 verses of chapter 31, wrote the ending as well. But again, we don't know for sure. But whoever did write it was very intentional, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, to really summarize much of the teaching of the book of Proverbs. This section is not simply tacked on the end, because the one organizing the book realized that women were not addressed nearly as much as the men. Not at all. Rather, Lady Like really is the conclusion of the book of Proverbs, the grand finale. These last 22 verses are the apex, the pinnacle of the mountain of Proverbs. You have been climbing up the mountain of wise sayings in order to get to the top, to get the best view you can possibly have of the virtuous woman, the woman who truly emulates Lady Wisdom. From atop the mountain, you can see the complete package. Lady Like is a thorough depiction of the wise, godly woman. You really won't find much else in Scripture about the excellent covenant woman in the Bible than what you find right here. In fact, I have been struck by the similarities of the characteristics of the godly woman as they are described here and the characteristics of the godly woman as they are described in other places in Scripture. So the author really spells it out for you. And by that I mean literally. Proverbs 31, verses 10 through 31, is an acrostic, which means that the first letter of the first word at the beginning of every verse in the Hebrew text is the Hebrew alphabet in order. Proverbs 31:10 begins with the Hebrew word for woman or wife, which begins with the first letter of the Hebrew alphabet, Aleph. Then the next verse begins with the letter Bet, and so on, until we get to the last Hebrew letter in the alphabet, Tav, at the beginning of verse 31. So there really is a comprehensive description here of the perfectly wise woman from A to Z. Jesus is called the Alpha and the Omega in the first and concluding chapters of the book of Revelation. The Alpha and Omega are the first and last letters of the Greek alphabet, which designate, at least in part, that Christ is everything. Everything you could need or want. In him is found life and light, joy and peace, virtue and wisdom. And I think in a similar way, the author of the last chapter of Proverbs is saying that this depiction of a virtuous woman is the Aleph and the Tav. She has everything the godly man could need or want. Therefore, the single godly covenant man who wants to marry should meditate on this passage and fill his heart and mind with what God defines a virtuous and wise woman to be. Now, there are some things you should keep in mind as you approach this passage. For one thing, the description of the woman in this summary is like the rest of the book of Proverbs, and it gives us examples that are firmly rooted in wise and godly principles. And it is these fundamental principles, as they are taught throughout the book of Proverbs, that need to be applied to daily life. God does not expect you to literally put your hand to the distaff and the spindle. Rather, the point of verse 19, as well as some of the other verses, is that the wise woman strives to be resourceful and to use the gifts and skills she has been given to serve and take care of others, especially those in her home. For another thing, some verses you will find more applicable to your situation, others less. For example, the Proverbs 31 woman is married, and yet not all women are called to marriage. But that does not mean that there is not still much that can be gleaned from this passage for the unmarried woman. As one commentator put it, it is not expected that any one woman will look exactly like this Proverbs 31 woman in every respect. The important thing is to meditate on the godly example illustrated here, and to seek to derive the principles from this passage that can be implemented in your own life. That being said, however, it is one thing to know what the Word of God requires of you, and another thing entirely to live it out. You need to look into the mirror of the Word of God, as James says, not only to see who you really are, but who you also ought to be and what you ought to do with the knowledge you have received. Therefore, fear the Lord, and you will be praised, not only praised for your wisdom, but you will also be praised for your work. Fear the Lord, and you will be praised for your work. If I could use just two words to describe the Proverbs 31 woman, those words would be focused diligence. Focused diligence. There can be no doubt that this woman is diligent, and this woman is focused. The author uses the Hebrew word hayil, translated here as excellent or excel, as bookends of this passage in verses 10 and 29. The author uses this word as the consummate adjective to describe this woman. That word actually has a fairly wide range of usage. Some translations render the word in this verse as noble or virtuous, or excellent, as in our ESV Bibles. But I want to give you some other examples of how this word can be translated in the Old Testament. Depending on the context, The word can be translated as able, competent, powerful, strong, wealthy, valiant, and even army. These are probably not the words you would typically use to describe a woman who seeks to take care of the affairs in her home. But I would remind you that this is not only the word that the human author uses to describe this woman, it is also the word that the divine author, God Himself, chose to describe this very important and influential woman. It is a word you should not forget, Hayil. It will remind you that in God's eyes, you have a very high calling, a very mighty calling as a covenant woman. If you think about the simple things this woman does, without thinking about how she excels in them, you might not think much of her job. At the most basic level, what does this woman do? Well, she speaks words of wisdom and kindness, probably mostly to those in her home. She sees to it that those under her care have clothes to wear, food to eat, and comfortable beds to sleep in. In essence, as the author puts it in verse 27, she looks well to the ways of her household. This kind of a job is often looked down upon, even despised in our own culture. But it is not the kind of work that is despised by God. Having said that, you will notice that the excellence of this woman is seen not so much in what her calling is, as in how focused and diligent she is in her calling. I think there can be a tendency for some women, especially housewives, to lose sight of the calling that God has placed upon them. When the husband is away at work and the children are away at school, or even if you homeschool, it can be difficult at times to stay focused and remain diligent. There are so many distractions that can easily creep into your life and take your attention away from where it needs to be, especially in our day of TVs and computers and smartphones. But the Proverbs 31 woman takes all that is before her, all that God has gifted her with and called her to do, whether that involves working inside the home or out of it, whether her work involves a paycheck or not, and she strives to reach her full potential. She finds her position in life, and she gives it all that she has, and she seeks to do it for the glory of God. She knows who she is and what God has created her to do and to be in His kingdom. She stays focused on her calling, and she does it with diligence. It is very interesting that the word in our passage, Hayil, used to describe the Proverbs 31 woman, while frequently employed in the scriptures, is actually cited in only one place to describe a real historical woman in the Bible. And that person happens to be Ruth. Now, I would point out to you that in the Hebrew Bible, the order of the Old Testament books is different than the order found in our English Bibles. And it just so happens that in the Hebrew Bible, the book of Proverbs, unlike our English Bibles, comes directly before the book of Ruth. I don't think this is a coincidence. We are given a description of the ideal, excellent woman in Proverbs 31, and then we are given a real-life example in the following book, in the person of Ruth. And what do we learn from the example of Ruth? Well, like the Proverbs 31 woman, I think we find that she was focused and she was diligent. She was single-minded in her devotion to God. And even though her sister-in-law, Orpah, went back to her people and to her gods, Ruth clung tenaciously to Naomi and declared, "Your people will be my people, and your God will be my God." Ruth remained focused on serving God and serving her family, which at that time was her mother-in-law, Naomi. But she was also diligent. When Boaz asked his servant in charge of the reapers about Ruth, the servant made this statement. She is the young Moabite woman who came back with Naomi from the country of Moab. She said, "Please, let me glean and gather among the sheaves after the reapers." So she came, and she has continued from early morning until now, except for a short rest. However, if you think about it, there's a lot said concerning the Proverbs 31 woman that could not be said of Ruth. For one, Ruth was not married at the time, nor did she have children like the Proverbs 31 woman. For another, Ruth was not wealthy, which the Proverbs 31 woman certainly appears to be. For example, she had servants, which probably enabled her to do more. But again, what needs to be kept in mind are the underlying godly principles that can be extracted from Proverbs 31 and applied to your own life. So, whether you are single or married, whether you are old or young, whether you are rich or poor, whether you work inside the home or out of it, be focused and be diligent, and you will be praised for your work. The godly example and testimony of Ruth became known to all in the town. Later, Boaz would use that same word from Proverbs 31, Hayil, to describe Ruth in chapter 3, verse 11, in this way. "And now, my daughter, do not fear. I will do for you all that you ask. For all my fellow townsmen know that you are a worthy woman." A worthy woman. "Therefore, fear the Lord, and you too will be praised, not only for your wisdom and your work, but just like Ruth, you will be praised for your true worth." Fear the Lord, and you will be praised for your true worth. Proverbs 31:30 gives all of us a much needed reminder. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. It is very interesting to note that the word for charm here in the original Hebrew is actually the same word translated as grace or favor elsewhere. As one might expect, that word is most often used in a positive light. But here the author is referring to the favor that is shown women because of their outward appearance. In the world, a woman is often shown favor if she is physically attractive, if she is physically beautiful. And is that not what we see all around us? You can hardly escape it. Physically attractive women are plastered all over the place, on billboards, on magazines, in commercials, in books, and in movies. Sadly, more often than not, this is the worth the world gives to a woman. And it is not as though it is only the people of the world who are obsessed by this. We are all prone to think this way. All of us have a tendency to put far too much importance on outward appearances. We need to think God's thoughts after Him and remind ourselves that although man looks on the outward appearance, God looks on the heart. Did you notice that of all the godly attributes mentioned of the covenant woman in Proverbs 31, not one time does it mention the importance of being physically attractive? We don't want to completely disdain outward appearances or even outward beauty, But we need to be careful not to be deceived by it. Physical attractiveness does not last. It is here today and gone tomorrow. An overt obsession with outward physical beauty tends towards vanity, as we are reminded here in our passage. The word for vain, hebel, actually means breath or vapor. It is the very same word that was given to Abel as a name, Hebel. Perhaps because he did not live very long, not nearly as long as the brother who killed him. I guarantee you that Abel did not expect to die so soon. Do you know that you will die soon? Do you know that your outward beauty is but a vapor? It's but a breath. It will fade quicker than you know it. This is why the Apostle Peter in 1 Peter 3, verses 3 and 4, exhorts the women not to be too preoccupied with external adornment, but let your adorning be, he says, the hidden person of the heart, with the imperishable beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which in God's sight is very precious. I urge you, covenant women, desire to be found precious in the sight of God, your Creator and your Redeemer. After all, isn't His opinion the only one that really matters? It is the only one that will count in the day of judgment. Therefore, fear Him, fear the Lord, and you will be praised. Let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word you have given. We thank you for the reminder that you look upon the heart. We pray, Father, that you would drive home the truth of your word to our hearts. Help us to be conformed more and more into the image of Christ as a result of it. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.